obsessed with all things ovine, there is seriously something about sheep and always something new to learn about keeping, breeding and farming them. Welcome to the Sheep Show podcast. I'm Jill Noble from Holston Valley Farm and Sheep Stud and your host. The Sheep Show podcast exists to help you, no matter where you are in the world, what sheep you breed, what size your flock is. This podcast will help your sheep knowledge and your shepherding confidence grow. And it's a two-way street. I love to hear from you and find out how your sheep journey is going. Contact me via Instagram at Holston Valley Farm or via email jill@holstonvalleyfarm.com.au. Come along on this episode as we explore the amazing world of sheep and sheep farming together.
Dystocia.
What is dystocia? Well, it's actually a word just meaning difficult birth. They use it in every single type of birthing. So not just sheep and lambs, but humans, goats, calves, whatever it might be, just dystocia and any sort of difficult birth issue that might actually occur. So we're going to have a bit of a chat about when to intervene, causes of dystocia, what to do if you see it, and then just some abnormal presentations, all the fun stuff that we might have to deal with in the upcoming lambing season if you are lambing like us in Australia or in the Southern Hemisphere. Or, of course, if you're somewhere else, get ready, it's coming. Lambing is just around the corner. So let's look at some of the high-level elements here just around labor. So, you know, the ewe goes off on its own. They have some signs of labor. It could last anywhere from 1 to 8 hours. So it really just depends. They start to, when they're really getting into it, they start to paw, lie down, get up. They might urinate, all that sort of stuff. They might squat. And then you see the water sac. And then you should see a foot. And then you should see a nose. And then pretty soon, probably in the next 15 minutes or 30 minutes or so, you should see a lamb. Or maybe two, as the case may be. But of course, if this doesn't go according to plan, what do you do? Well, if you again see that that water sac has appeared and nothing has happened for about 30 minutes, you need to intervene. Or if the water sac is sort of hanging there and it's been an hour, you need to intervene. If the ewe is showing signs of distress, anything like fatigue, panting, restlessness, extreme restlessness, if there's any bleeding from the back end, or if you do see a lamb with a tongue hanging out on its side, then you need to intervene. And really, you've got 30 to 45 minutes before you really need to start to get in and get involved in it. It's really interesting just to sort of look at what might cause dystocia, what might cause difficult birth. And well, let's just have a look at some of the things that we believe causes it, and then some of the other things that we may think causes it as well. So technically, one of the issues is where the cervix doesn't dilate, so it's quite technical. Obviously, really big lamb, large head, shoulders, oversized, too fat, that's the lamb. You've got two kids or two lambs coming simultaneously. Sometimes it's where the ewe's been disturbed and then she sort of, her labor stops. Or, of course, where we have our lamb that's not in its proper position as well. Other things, other reasons or situations where we see there may be causes of dystocia, lack of exercise. I know growing up in Ireland where we almost had to pull, you know, 60, 70, 80% of lambs, which was normal. It was because they were just sitting around in a shed for like 3 months. So lack of exercise can be a real issue. Another issue can be lack of minerals. We're not sure exactly what minerals, but there are elements around selenium, potassium, calcium, all these sorts of minerals. Potentially, I mean, there's lots of things we can do about it. If you really want to know, then, you know, get some mineral testing. But by making sure that they have a mineral leak, seaweed meal, perhaps even using injectable minerals a month prior to lambing, these are some of the things that can help, particularly something like a multi-min, those sorts of things. You need to be careful with selenium. Go back, have a listen to my selenium podcast. You do need to be careful with selenium. You can drench with a mineralized drench. So if you are drenching your ewes a month before lambing, that could be an option, but don't do injectables as well as a drench, you just, particularly with selenium, because they can get toxicity. The ewe being too fat is another reason. Again, not fit enough or too fat, potentially, that can be a real issue. If they haven't been exercising, as I mentioned, just lying down, if the ewe's hips are too narrow, like the ewe can actually be too narrow in its back end, so the shape of the ewe might be an issue. And then, of course, it's just bad luck. It's really interesting just to think of all the reasons, all the causes of dystocia, and when perhaps it is something that we can prevent potentially. Like some people are to suggest that it could be the feed that you give them. If you give them grain, you might get this. If you give them lucerne, you might get that. You know, all these different reasons why we might guess dystocia. And a lot of the time, we really just don't know what causes it. Some say it's genetic as well. So, but I know for me, I've had ewes that have lambed perfectly fine 5-6 times, and then bang, you get a dystocia. Yeah. So it's just random. It really, really is. And sometimes you think, oh, it's multiples. No, there can be difficult birth when it's just a single. Often it's because the single is too big. And if you haven't subscribed and listened to my podcast on pregnancy scanning, check it out, because it will help you come up with ideas for how to reduce your single bearing ewes getting too fat and those single lambs getting too big, which of course can cause, you guessed it, dystocia. So there's things we can actually do in terms of our management and our approach as well. So if you do need to intervene with your ewe, then a few little tips would be, have your gloves on hand. It's up to you. You don't have to wear gloves. If you're not going to use gloves, then make sure you clean your hands before, obviously, and after, and potentially even with an antiseptic if you're going to put your hand in. Really using the plastic obstetrics gloves, that you know, the vet gloves, and some lubricant. That's really good. And when you're going to put your hand in, obviously a smaller hand is better. Typically, when I say smaller, you know, finer boned is better. Some genders have finer bones than others. Bear that in mind. Ages as well. I know for me, growing up, I was always called on when I was a teenager, because I definitely had a smaller hand than my dad had. And my mother definitely wasn't going to do it. So it was just me. Small hands really, really do matter. And then you want to get your hand into like a natural wedge shape. So your fingers need to be quite tightly together. And then almost like you're sort of, you know, putting your hand into a kind of a scoop or wedge type shape. And then you want to put your hand gently into the pelvic area. And if the ewe is having contractions, you can use forward movements in line with the contractions. Sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes it's all a bit rushed. But that can be a good way, perhaps, to just work with the ewe a little bit and be as gentle as you possibly can, but also get in as much as you possibly can. And then you want to try and work out the position, the presentation, what's actually going on inside. Some people swear by closing their eyes. I love this. Closing their eyes and visualizing what might be happening, or really thinking about what it is that you're feeling inside the animal. Is it a front leg or a back leg? Are you feeling the rump of the lamb? Are you feeling the nose or the snout or under the chin? You know, what are you actually feeling with your hand? And that can really be good if you close your eyes and start to visualize as well. Obviously, most of us are, you know, we're not even in there if it's a normal presentation, head first with the front legs coming front. Yeah, so that's a normal presentation most of the time. Unless it's a big lamb, you shouldn't need to intervene. The ewe should be able to do it. You can also determine if the lamb is actually coming into the birth canal or if there's still way inside the lamb. You can even do a couple of little tests to see if the lamb in there is alive or dead. Here's a few examples on what you can do. And again, depends on what you can find in there, but you can pinch and see if the lamb actually pulls away. You can put a finger in the lamb's mouth and feel it like suckle on your lamb. You can poke the lamb in its eye and see if it sort of retreats its head, retracts its head, or you can even, if you can find the rump of the lamb, you can actually check that, you know, by putting your finger around their rectum, whether again it contracts. So all those are reasons or things that you could use to test to see if the lamb is alive or dead. Generally, I'm finding things are moving so fast at this stage, you just want to get the lamb out. And sometimes you just got to deal with it. And often the lamb inside, particularly if the ewe has been in distress, the lamb might be quite tired as well. And maybe a bit listless. So often just focus on delivery as much as you possibly can. So if you do need to intervene where the lamb is in its normal position, so 2 feet and the nose coming first, then what you can do is you can use a little bit of baler twine or hay band and place that around the front legs. And then you want to pull downwards. So if the ewe, I find that the ewe is standing up, it's often a better position. You want to pull with gravity. Yeah. So not straight out, but pulling down. There is a little tool that you can buy, which has a little plastic sleeve and then two little hoops on it. And you can use that to perhaps pull around the lamb's feet and neck. So you could try that too. I find the baler twine is just as good. And often again, things are moving so fast, you don't really have time to sort of get anything fancy. So that can that'll help. And then generally, once you get the head through, the 2 feet and the head through, the shoulders generally can come reasonably easy. And then the last part of the lamb is often very, very quick. And again, the more you can work with the ewe's natural contractions, the better there as well. Now, when things don't go so well, when their positions are abnormal, then you can start to think about, okay, what's going on and what do I do? So one position could be that you have a lamb coming backwards. Now, when I say coming backwards, we're talking about the feet, back feet are coming out. The lamb is sort of upside down. Back to front. So the back legs are coming and then the top of the lamb, the rump of the lamb is pushing on the ewe's spine. So if it's really big, you could try and rotate the animal a little bit, the lamb a little bit, and then try to manipulate or pull that animal out. You can pull it out backwards, absolutely fine. You do need to work pretty fast, but you do need to be fine. Another little trick here is, I haven't tried this, I'm going to try this year if I need to. Hopefully I don't. But if, actually this probably wouldn't work for this situation. But another trick is if the head is coming out, but you can't get the head out of the birth canal or even out of the cervix, then if you push in onto the rectum, sometimes you can push or almost manipulate the head by going into the rectum and popping out the head. So there's one that you could try potentially as well. So again, if your lamb is coming backwards, you can try and rotate it and then pull it out from the back legs. And again, pull with gravity until it's removed. Another presentation would be head first with one leg only or no legs coming first. In this example, you want to try and cup one of the legs and pull that forward. So you want to, very difficult to pull a lamb with two legs back. You can do it with one leg back, but obviously it's way, way better for the ewe, for the animal, for and for you, the person helping, to try and get the feet forward. So try and go in, find the little hoof on the leg, and then being able to move that out or pull that out. And of course, it's very slippy and slidey in there. So you just want to do this carefully. Just try carefully. If you need to, here's a few tricks. Push the whole lamb back in and then start to move the feet. Another option would be if your ewe is lying down, move her onto another side. If your ewe is lying down, stand her up. So different things to try and just get that lamb inside with a bit more space. And that can work. The other option is you can put one hand on the head of the lamb and then push it back in and then cup and pull out the limbs, pull out that second foot. And then that will move into the pelvic area and then you're able to pull it out in a normal position. One of the most horrible positions I find is you've got two legs coming but no head. So the head is either turned on its side, turned back, or potentially down even between the legs. So, it's awful. And frequently your lamb is really distressed, weak, or possibly even dead. Oh, it's just an awful one. And because, again, things are so slippy inside, it is a real challenge. But here, first of all, you've got to try and check. So I try and feel that sort of breast bone or that sort of bone that's just below the lamb's neck. And you think, oh, definitely. And then you try and follow the neck around to try and feel the head. So you definitely know what you're doing or what you're looking at or what's actually going on inside. So first of all, work that out. And then what you can try and do is a few different options. If you can get right around behind the head and pop it forward. If you need to, you could go inside the mouth of the animal. But I find if you're gone that far, you're going to be able to try and manipulate the head. Try and get that head into the proper position. You can put your fingers in the eye sockets. Oh, I don't like that one, but you can do that to be able to maneuver the head. Again, the trick I find here is just not just manipulating the lamb, but manipulating the ewe. Stand her up, lie her down, lie her on her other side. You know, try and get her moving around. Walk her around a little bit if you have to. So try to move that lamb so that there's more space, more room, and that you can potentially, sometimes the lamb then just, you know, move slightly in utero and then you're able to get in a little bit further and you're able to pop that head out. But it's a real challenging one. That can be really, 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 really challenging there as well. Another one is what we would refer to as breech. Now, breech is where the lamb is backwards and upside down, and the legs are all sort of all bunched up. So you've got a couple of options here. You can try and pull the animal by the back legs, because again, the animal is coming backwards. So if you can move the back legs forward, or if you can rotate the animal, that can help too. So if you can rotate them a little bit, maybe grab one of the legs, push down, and then being able to get the hind legs out and possibly rotate and then pull. Or if you can get them the right way up, you'll twist them completely round and then the legs are still retained, then you can start to do one leg at a time. So try and get those legs forward and then being able to pull that, pull those feet out and then pull the animal out again, whether it's typically though with a breech birth, you are going to most likely going to have to pull out backwards. I had triplets 1 year. Every single one was breech. I never forget it. The ewe was, and she's such a good ewe, and was the first dystocia that she's ever experienced. I've had her for a while, and she came from another breeder. And I knew she wasn't. She was going to struggle because she was very. She was carrying triplets. I don't think I knew at that stage because I hadn't pregnancy scanned that stage. But she was very, very big, very uncomfortable, and really was struggling to keep up when I was moving them quite regularly. So I actually penned her up and then saw her waters break, thank goodness, and got in there and knew that she would need some help and the all breech. First one was really, really difficult to get out. Now, three in there, again, there's no space at all. First one was exceptionally difficult to get out. The other two were fine. She was so good, though. Some ewes just help you so, so much when they're having difficulty. It's like they know, then they really trust you. And it's just so good if they help you. Some ewes are just mad. You know, they're like, get away from me. Get away from me. Jumping up the walls. I find in this instance, if you have a halter and a tie rope and the ewe is just really upset, not happy, doesn't want anything to do with you, a halter and a tie rope. The other thing I've tried quite successfully, especially if I'm on my own, is I put them into my yard area. So I put the ewe into a race, yeah, like two panels, and close the gate in front of her, and then I get in behind her, and then she can't go anywhere. She can go down, like lie down, which is difficult, but she can't really turn around. And that's often really good, particularly if you're on your own or you're thinking, I'm not going to be able to restrain her, or she'll do some strange somersaults if I restrain her and she's not used to it. So again, moving them into the yards and that sort of thing can be quite good too. What else can, well, here we go. Maybe twins, and you've got four legs coming. Joy. Good. You've got twins. However, you've got to really work out whose leg is who. Are these four legs from the same lamb? Or are these four legs, four front legs from two different lambs? So this is what you've just got to do. Try and work out. And feeling the legs, the front legs feel quite different. They don't have that pointy hock. So as you're feeling in there, feel for the pointy hock. And if you feel the pointy hock, then you think, oh, okay, this is four legs from the same animal. That's not good. You try and just get the hind legs. So get the ones with the hocks and then go with that potentially. So and then the head will naturally follow. So that's often best if they are all, the legs are all from the same same lamb. You can rotate the animal, rotate the lamb if you need to. That can be good. If you find that they're four legs from different animals, then push one back. If you can push one back in, and then often one of them might have their head pushed back or whatever it might be. So that can be one to just do. So sort of push one back in. Once you've worked out that the legs are from different animals, you might even need to rotate or orientate the one of them is most likely going to be in a natural position, right? In fact, if it's four front legs, they're both in a natural position. Probably you have a head that's back, or a very big lamb that's potentially back as well. So that could help a little bit. You are not going to be able to deliver two at the one time. So you're going to have to perhaps push one back and then get one out to be able to make that space. Some of the mistakes I find are ironically with us. And I'm going to, I suppose, just help you realize what I mean by that is that we get upset, we get angry, we lose patience, we get frustrated, we're under pressure because of time, maybe other things that we need to be doing, other places that we need to be, all these sorts of things. You know, so all these things, our own mindset gets in the way, unfortunately. And I think we just need to take a deep breath. You know, maybe take off. For me, it's lambing in the winter and I get really hot. So I've got to take off a couple of layers. So I'm not going to boil over. And of course, that's because you're going to be working fast, perhaps working under pressure, perhaps, you know, being quite physical or whatever it might be. Like in some instances, I've had to run down the U, jump on her, and then start working. You know, so you're really hot already if that happens, but that often happens if you're in a big paddock rather than potentially if you're in a smaller area that you can, you know, corral them or whatever it might be. So, but you got to do what you got to do sometimes. Other mistakes are just waiting too long. So if you see the active stages of labor, if you see the water sac, then you know you're on a ticking clock. Yeah, so you know 15, 30 minutes, nothing's happened. No, you can't see the feet or the feet are hanging out. You need to start investigating. So it's going to be better for you to intervene early rather than wait too long. So, and even if you go in there and there's really nothing for you to do, at least you know for sure that either the ewe will do it herself or maybe a little bit of help from you. And then you might have prevented death. You might have prevented an injury to the ewe from an animal welfare point of view. You might have prevented you know, other challenges that you might have faced down the track as well if you'd left it a bit too long. So intervene early, 15, 30 minutes, you need to be in there. Another error, mistake is trying to deliver the animal without really working out the presentation first or the problem first. So really start to identify which problem are you facing, which presentation are you actually dealing with, and then work on that. If you try and apply pressure or pull with a head back or a leg back, it's not going to end well. It's not going to end well. So try and work it out and fix, identify the problem before you start to action, and then force. So you too much force, and you know, you might need help with one other person pulling a little bit. But once you start to get to real serious force, like two people, that's too much. So, you know, or more than what two people could actually do is too much. So you're going to have to do something else. Call a vet. You're going to have to leave it some time. You're going to have to just manipulate. You're going to have to move the animal on its side. Those sorts of things will need to be done. It's not good, is it? Sorry, it's a bit depressing, I know, but I feel it's always better to be prepared for these things so that you've got these things in mind. One, get your head right. Yeah. Focus on you, get yourself in the right headspace. Two, intervene earlier than you might think. Three, diagnose the problem. Work out what actually is the issue, and then watch out on how much force you're using. You should not need to use force. If you're needing to use force, go back and try and diagnose the issue before you have to use force. If you've had to intervene and you've had to help out and you're concerned about the animal getting infected, particularly if you've been in and out and in and out and in and out, then you might want to give the ewe some antibiotics. To get that ewe's energy back up, I will give the ewe will be very thirsty. So give her water, ideally lukewarm water, ideally with some molasses in it. So a bit of sugar to help her get her energy reserves back up. If you're like me, fond of a vitamin C injection, give her a vitamin C injection as well. And then leave her alone. Put her in a pen with the animal, with the lamb, and just give her some space. Give her some nice food. Look after her. But just give her a little bit of time to get comfortable or get over the experience that she's just been through, because it hasn't been fun and she hasn't had a good time. And she is going to be tired and she's going to feel sore. And she's obviously going to want to then expel her placenta eventually. I probably should have mentioned, but I'm assuming that if you've had to intervene, you have double checked that you've got all the lambs out. Yeah. In fact, any time I have had to intervene, I will always check that there's not another lamb in there, even if I've scanned on some scanning, so pregnancy scanning, and it's scanned as a single or a twin or whatever, and I've had to intervene, go in and make sure there's not another lamb lurking in there that might have caused the position. And it's no harm. Just don't pull out the placenta. Never do that. I might do another little podcast on that for you later on. But you don't want to let that come out in its own good time. So dystocia, who knows how it happens? Watch out for the signs of labor. Look for the straining, giving assistance when you need to. Intervene early and then work out the position and the problem and avoid that excessive force. It is going to cause infection. It's going to cause bleeding. It's going to cause shock and trauma. And generally, you're going to end up with dead ewe, dead lambs, or just a really sick ewe at the end of it. So should I say happy lambing, everyone? Be prepared. And hopefully this podcast will help you just be that little more prepared for whatever may come your lambing way this year.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sheep Show podcast. Please take a moment to rate and review this podcast on your preferred podcast app. Each rating and review helps us reach listeners just like you and help them also grow in their shepherding confidence. And let me know how your sheep journey is going. Contact me via Instagram at Holston Valley Farm or via email jill@holstonvalleyfarm.com.au. And until next time, sheep well.